Sarah, here you are. Sorry, I thought you meant the other Axe and Crown in Barnet and Finsbury Park and East Cheam. How long have you been here?
A few.
Minutes.
Rounds.
Oh, dear.
I just wanted to know what it was like to be like Kathleen.
What? Who?
I just wanted to be a kid.
Again?
No, don't be silly. I wouldn't be able to listen to a Scottish podcast if I was a little kid, would I?
No.
I just want to be like Kathleen Kidd. I'm right and doing my audio drama in pub.
I don't think she has a drink for every paragraph she writes, though. Maybe you're carrying this method drunk Helen thing a little too far.
Oh, but look what I've written. It's genius.
Oh, I am sorry. I knocked your pint on your work. As for some reason you were writing with a feather and ink, it appears the whole page is gone. It's all murky, unreadable. Sorry.
No problem. Actually, I was going to start it again anyway. Barman, get us 2 pints of your strongest ale and another quill, if you please. We're going to write us some of the best horror ever written since Kathleen Kidd wrote A Night of Horror. Grab a seat, Fiona. Remove those 1980s stilettos and get your drinking shoes on.
And welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Fiona.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we have a very special guest.
A bonus guest. Guest you didn't expect.
Exactly. Yes. One of our founding fathers, Matthew McLean, has interviewed the amazing Kathleen Kidd.
She's amazing. She is a lovely Scottish lady who has been producing and writing a podcast that hopefully you've heard of called A Night of Horror. And it's a couple of different facets of a production, really. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yourself, Fiona, but I have just been enjoying it recently. And it's an anthology of work. So there are some standalone, fun, some short, some longer horror stories. And then also there is kind of a short series, which is in development at the minute. I think there are 4 or 5 episodes in at the minute. And it's about going into the murk, which is beautiful when you say it in a Scottish accent. And it follows the adventures of a young chap who smokes a bit of something he shouldn't. Don't do drugs, kids.
Just say no.
Yes. Zamo, bless him. But yeah, I love it. It's a really mood-enhancing, full of fun characters, and it sets the scenes of, you know, the places it's taking part in beautifully. So it's definitely worth a look.
So here's Matthew with Kathleen Kidd on behalf of the Scottish Audio Cooperative.
So Kathleen, I've been dying to get you on the show for a while, and I came across you on Twitter, I think it was about 6 or 8 months ago, just coincidentally, and it was amazing just to find someone else in Scotland who was making audio drama, not only you, but like there's a group of you down there, I believe, and you were doing A Night of Horror. Since then, I think you've launched the Scottish Audio Cooperative, and your latest series is called Into the Murk. And I know it's such a cop-out way to open an interview, but just could you give me a background as to, you know, how it all got started, and you know, what was your first steps into producing and recording audio, I guess?
Well, like you said, you found me on Twitter, but we all do the same course at uni. It's me, Robert Ruth and Sadie Woods, who are the three people that really started Scottish Audio Cooperative. And we all do broadcast production at university, so we're all really interested in radio. And I used to do acting before that, so I was mainly interested in acting beforehand. And then I found out through Robert that there was options to do radio. And then we started recording our own stuff. And I've always been really, really interested in horror. So I really liked all the old kind of 50s and 60s horror, where they do loads of adverts through it for like for like powdered toothpaste and all that sort of stuff. And it's all really old timey, and I started by doing that sort of thing. And then as it, that was like 4 years ago, and then as it progressed, I was like, right, okay, I'll do a series of it and then see where it goes. Then we started doing workshops and audio production and things like that. And then once I had about 6 or 7 episodes, I was only putting them on Mixcloud and stuff like that, because I wasn't really too sure at the time what to do with them. And then I made the first series, and it's all like individual episodes. They're all roughly about 10 minutes long, and they're all supposed to be like short spooks that people can easily get into. And then I uploaded them all on Spreaker. And Spreaker was this amazing thing, because everyone else was using all these different host sites, and I was like, oh, that'll be a load of rubbish, and Spreaker has just taken it off. And then I started getting involved in Twitter, and I found out about horror Twitter, and horror Twitter is this amazing thing. Everyone's so, it's just the weirdest thing I've ever been involved in. And the Twitter page has just gone a bit mental for me, really, because we've got like 3,000 odd followers on it. And that's, you know, for a Scottish based podcast, that was really cool for me. And now we've got a lot of downloads now. Well, for us, we've got a lot of downloads for us. And we started the second series, which is a kind of fantasy podcast. And it's the first time that I tried to link all my series together, because I'd never done a continuous story before. So yeah, it's been an experience. But while we've been doing that, everyone that's involved in A Night of Horror is basically coming to our workshops, and we run our workshops in air at a bar called Cameron's Bar in Air, and we do them at half one on a Wednesday and 1 o'clock on a Sunday. And it's basically teaching people how to make different types of podcasts. It's not just audio drama, but I specifically focus on that. But yeah, it's teaching people how to make audio, really. Robert, who's involved in it, does a lot of kind of game stuff as well, which is a new thing, where he makes games and gets his own, he makes sound effects for them, and it's really cool. Yeah, so that's where we are at the moment, I'd say.
So there's loads of stuff in there that I want to sort of pick out and talk to you about. Firstly, I guess, like the first show that I heard that you did, it was the one with the teddy bear. Who
yeah.
had the wee creepy voice, and he was talking to people. He became sentient, I think. It was really good. And then Into the Murk, like you say, you've went into this ongoing series. What have you found? Because there's always this sort of ongoing debate in audio drama about, should you make a anthology or should you make an ongoing series? And of course, the benefit of an ongoing series is people could really start to buy into your characters and follow them. Yeah. But an anthology, you get to mix it up a bit and try out all these different things. So what, I guess the two questions here are, how have you found the difference between actually making the two, and what's the difference in the feedback that you're getting from your listeners about it as well?
Personally, for me, it was easier to start off with the individual episodes, because you can focus on one and you're not really thinking about character development as such. You're only thinking about character development in one episode. And because our episodes for the first series are so short, you can get away with assuming that your audience has to throw themselves into character development quite quickly. And that was what I struggled with the second series, because I didn't want to spend a lot of time. I didn't want to have like the first episode where it's just introducing characters and there isn't a storyline yet and it's just trying to get the audience introduced. I really wanted to try and get a story quite quickly. And that was something I spoke about with our audio cooperative, saying, you know, how do I do this character development stuff and how do I do it quickly? And it's just, I suppose, doing the series it's just been a bit more difficult trying to get your audience to connect with it very quickly, so that they want to keep listening. Because if they connect with your characters quickly, then they'll want to listen to the next episode. But we do a lot of like D&D and stuff like that. And I've found that making games for that sort of thing and trying to think of how your characters interact that way, and has helped me a lot making the series, because it is a fantasy horror series. So it's been difficult. The audience interact with it in different ways. I think we've got two separate audiences sometimes for it, but for me personally, I think if you've got separate episodes for your first series, people tend to go, oh, well, they're all disconnected, so it's a bit easier to jump in and say, right, well, what one suits the genre that I like? What one looks like, judge a book by its cover, basically. And they're only 10 minutes long, so you go, oh, cool, that sounds good. And if they like it, then they go, do you know what? I'll give the big series a try. And that's what I thought might have been the best way to do it.
Yeah, you've got, I think that's a really good point. Like when you've done both, when you've got ongoing series and you've got short stories, the short stories are a really good way of getting people to listen to your work, because you can demonstrate that you can actually put something together that's well written, that sounds good. And then if they buy into that, they're more willing to sort of commit, if you like, to a big series, aren't they?
Yeah.
One thing that's curious to me, like when you said, you know, the way you sort of came into audio fiction was through the sort of old time stuff. So were you aware of any of the modern audio dramas nowadays? And it, now, like, if so, is there any that you listen to, you know, the sort of stuff that's been made nowadays?
Well, it's a wee bit difficult. When I first came into, when I first started broadcast production, I didn't really listen to podcasts at all. I was more looking up on YouTube the things that I was interested in, and then seeing what came back from that, and it was more like Vincent Price sort of stuff. And then the more that obviously we've studied it, the ones that you get taught about are all the ones on Gimlet, and all the kind of documentaries about there's a lot of very kind of we are going to speak like this for the next 45 minutes. I just wasn't interested in that at all. And the thing is that we always say at Scottish Audio, we're always saying, listen to the ones that you don't like, and then figure out why you don't like them, and then think about what it is that you'd change about it, and then make your own. So I suppose I listen to more all of the podcasts that, I suppose you're on our on the podcast page, the podcasters speak to on Facebook, it's a small group. We all kind of listen to each other's to see what everyone else is doing. I remember us all sitting listening to Scottish podcasts saying, oh God, there's another podcast in Scotland, what's everyone else doing? And yeah, I think that's quite cool listening to more, you would call it amateur, I suppose, but that's just how podcasting works.
Yeah, I suppose like indie's probably a word that's like less likely to, not that, you know, amateur shouldn't be an offensive word, but yeah, I suppose indie is probably the best term. Like you say, a lot of the podcasts that do get the publicity are the ones with the big companies behind them, the money behind them. With the you've talked about, we'll talk about Edinburgh in a wee minute, but the workshops that you do, what was your, like, firstly, what was your reason for wanting to actually do workshops? Is that because of something that, you know, you wanted to lead somewhere, maybe some sort of career that you want to have? And how do the workshops work themselves? You know, what do you try and get out of them?
Well, to begin with, in the university that we go to, there's a lot of, because it's broadcast production, it's film, television and radio. And we have, you know, there's a radio station there, but it's not about podcasting, and there wasn't anything really to do with audio drama that people were doing for fun as like a hobby or anything like that. And there wasn't any podcasting that anyone was doing outside of the station, and there's so many people making TV shows, going to like the TV studios and making all that sort of stuff, all the big TV groups. And we were like, well, you know, all of us have come from backgrounds where we've got a bit, like I went to stage school for 10 years and worked for some like television companies and stuff like that, doing drama. Mm-hmm. And then all of us have produced podcasts together, and we wanted to bring our experiences together and then get a group together that are constantly creating work and making a mark in Scotland, basically saying it's not just, you know, when you think of podcasts, it's not just American style, because we have like BBC radio, I suppose, over here, we don't really do a lot of podcasting. Big podcasts don't really come out from here. And we wanted to kind of go, right, well, let's start making our own podcasts, and we'll start teaching people how to make podcasts and even just basic like audio production skills, and get a good group together. We can all contribute with each other and help each other out with stuff that we're making. And that's how it began, really. And we want to broaden that across Scotland, I suppose.
So do you charge for people to come along, or is it free?
We, now that we've moved out of the university, we charge £4 for waged and £2 for unwaged. So we want as many people to feel like they can come along, and we're all students, so we're all skint. So we all put money in each week as well and try and build up a kind of fund so that we can get like recording equipment and all that sort of stuff. We have a membership as well. So we've got a website called Scottish Audio Cooperative. It's Scottish.audio, and you can be a member of Scottish.audio even if you don't come to the workshops, and it means that you can get like all of our workshop tips and hints, and you can also publish with us, and you can also, that's a fiver a month, and it means you get involved in the personal chats with us, and we teach you how to do some audio recording, and it means you can upload onto our site as well, because we want to get as much content on our website that people are producing as possible, because I think it is great for Scotland to start going, right, we're producing podcasts and we're here, and it doesn't just have to be like half an hour exactly radio programming. It can be anything that you want to record and send out, really.
So as well as, I suppose, like, in a sense, it's a sort of training academy, but also maybe like a podcast network, so somebody could come along and learn how to make one, and then make one, and then they can sort of get it out there via you guys.
Yeah, that's it. We've got our own Twitter as well for that, and we try and send out as much as possible on Facebook and Twitter and say, listen to this stuff, and you can come along and make this too. And we don't just put up podcasts or audio production work that is perfect, because we want people to learn from it, and we have people write on their things, I really struggled doing this, and this is how I fixed it. And you know, there was one of the girls made a podcast where there was some feedback in the background, and it was just a difficult recording for them to do. So what they did was they put like a phone noise over the top of it, and everyone was like, oh, that's a cool phone noise. And then they wrote at the bottom of it, obviously we had a bad recording, so we did what we could do with it and tried to change it, and people learned from it. And that's what it's all about, really. It's not about the perfect recording. It's not about overproduced work. It's about learning from it. And I think people like a wee bit of rawness about audio.
Yeah, like you say, I mean, if everyone waited until they could make the perfect audio drama, nobody would ever release anything. Yeah. And even like 10 years down the line, people are still learning. You know, you're learning all your life about this stuff, aren't you? So what sort of attendances are you getting at these workshops then? Because, I mean, I know from my own experience, it's really, really hard to get people to go to anything, no matter how good it is. I don't know if that's just a Scotland thing, but, you know, when you put on, like, live events, training sessions and that, it can be difficult to even get a handful of people along. So have you found it to be quite well attended?
We're in quite a small town, but we found that we get a core group of 10 each week, but new people come along each week. And at the moment we're doing a kind of module set up where every single week you learn a new skill, and it's posted on our website. So it would either be voice training or audio drama or factual script writing. So some people are maybe only interested in one. So sometimes we could maybe get like 20 folk on factual day who are all like, I really want to make a documentary and stuff like that. And then just depending if it's raining and it's a washout, you know, people maybe don't want to walk down to come down. But Ayr is quite a small town, and it can be, you know, sometimes you can struggle to tell people to come along, but we've got a nice core group that have been coming along every week. And what's nice about that as well is that some people that are involved come from quite far. There's a couple that are involved that come from Falkirk, and they manage to come along maybe once a month, and I think it takes them about 3 hours to get down. But once we're a wee bit, you know, I think once we kind of get into the swing of things and we've got some wee bit more money, we're going to start we'll have the opportunity to come into Glasgow, maybe go to Edinburgh and do pop-up workshops and stuff like that, which would be amazing, and it'll get the word out there, really.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds brilliant. I love the thought of teaching audio drama in a pub. It's like, that's my two favourite things.
Well, yesterday we had voice training class and I had everyone closing their eyes and doing breathing exercises while like Toto Africa was playing in the bar.
Mustang Sally.
Yeah, so yeah, it's fun.
So what like, why this pub? Was it just it's a pub that has a back room, they give you the room? And
well, yeah, it's a theatre bar to begin with, so what's great about it is that they're linked with the theatre in there, so they know a lot of people that are interested in drama, because it's not just an audio drama group, it's all audio, but people that are into drama are quite, you know, obviously they're quite creative people, and we were thinking these people are going to want to get involved, and they'll maybe not, a lot of people maybe don't know about, oh, I can make my own stuff, and you know, if you know how easy it is, my friend's got an iPhone, and sometimes she can, like, the audio stuff that she sends me from her phone, and that's just something that she carries about in her pocket, and it's just getting the word out there that people can start making their own content with just stuff they carry about with them. Mm-hmm. We thought a theatre bar, people are going to, you know, be performing, and like the other day I got up to do The Letter, which is one of our monologues, because they have a Monday monologues night, and it's the first time I've performed for about 5 years, and it's the first time I've performed in total something that I've written myself. So that was brilliant to be able to get involved in some of their nights that they do as well. They want us to start doing nights with them, and the nights that they already have on feed into what we do. So yeah, it's just a nice place, and it seems to be working well for us so far.
Before we talk about Edinburgh then, just like finally on the sort of workshops and stuff like that, just a couple of questions on that. Like, are you, because like audio drama is, it's such a wide variety of skill sets you need, and you've talked about, you've got the acting background, you also know a lot about audio and writing and stuff like that. Have the sort of team around you got like their own particular skill sets, and are the people who come along, are they working towards something, if you like? So does one session lead on to the next, and it's sort of planned out? Does that make any sense? That question, yeah. I thought it was maybe quite long-winded, but I'll let you answer it.
Like I said, in Scottish Audio, we've got Robert Ruthven. He does a couple of things. He's got an audio drama, Strathclyde Radio Light Broadcast, and it's a comedy drama, and it's about post-nuclear Strathclyde, and he runs this radio station, but he also does End of the Schedule. End of the Schedule is this music based, the only way I can explain it is like a music based ambient horror narrative kind of thing, and it's like half an hour of like he does mixes of kind of music that he likes that all connect with each other, and then he intertwines different either samples from different things or recordings, and it's kind of like a DJ set, but if you want to make yourself feel uncomfortable for like half an hour.
And why really, wouldn't you?
It's great. And then Sadie Woods, who she started by doing, again, small podcasts, and she's quite interested in kids' radio, so she did some kids' drama, but she does quite surreal work as well that she sends us to listen to, and we think that it's real to begin with, kind of like this Brass Eye stuff. She sent us, for Scottish Audio, it was like a 15-minute, she went to Rome and did this 15-minute, this is where you should visit in Rome. But like, it was a surreal kind of comedy drama, like a fake tour guide. But she didn't tell us before she sent it that it wasn't real. And we were sitting going, what? This is it. It was just this mad Brass Eye kind of idea. We try and make as much content as possible. But yeah, Robert Robert's, I think, is really good at mixing music and doing, like, like I said, he's doing this game thing just now where he's developing a game and putting all these sound effects in, and he's very, very technical, and he's brilliant at doing all the editing. He's brilliant at doing, like, he knows how to write code and all that, which is something that me and Sadie have no idea how to do. Sadie's a bit better than I am, but he's really good at that. So being able to write these games, and it means you can do, like, a narrative through a game and basically write podcasts while you can walk about this virtual reality setting, which is neat. And Sadie is really interested in all the kids' stuff, which is brilliant as well, because it's a totally different audience, and it's something that trying to keep the attention span of children is something that is a skill in itself. So yeah, we're all working towards different things, but yeah, we all try and tie that in together and help each other out as much as possible.
And the folk that are attending the sessions, are they, like, working towards making their own thing, if you like?
Yeah, so basically we have an overarching podcast module, I suppose you would call it. We have written this curriculum, which means all of the modules are separate. Every single day you can come along, you could miss one and it would be, you know, you can just go to one and take what you want from that and leave the rest. But we start off by Robert takes everyone through the kit, how you record with Editals, and how you would record with Tascams, and what microphones are the best ones, if you've got a windshield. And it's like, we've got all this kit that he takes you through. Then after that, the best way for us to move forward is, like, Foley and field recording. So we talk about what you can do with the kit and how you record. Me and another girl, Claire, that's in the group, we built this Foley board, and it's like a big bit of carpet, and then there's stones in it and a big bit of wood in the middle, and it means you can go from place to place. And we do field recording outside, and it means that's you learning how to use the kit and move forward with that. Then we talk about scripting and radio formatting and prompting. So how you write. So it's not a narrative thing. It's not about characters and all that sort of stuff. It's more about how you actually, like Celtics and things like that, how you write a script. Then we talk about advanced editing and how you would edit your pieces together. Then we talk a wee bit about voice training, so that you know about popping and clipping and how you use your breathing exercises. And if you're sitting at a chair in front of a computer, how do you get your breath to come out properly? And that's the week that we're on at the moment. Next week we would be talking about, like, transmediation and promotion, which is all about having your website up. How do the audience connect with you outside of your podcast? How do you send your podcast out? Are you just using Mixcloud? Are you on Spreaker? Are you on iTunes? Because that's a really massive part of how you promote your pieces. And if people are able to connect with you outside of the piece, that's brilliant. And then we do a showcase at the end, because after you've learned all that, you're able to put a piece together. And we give people the skills every single week to go, right, that's all the basics. That's like a kind of curriculum for learning how to make a podcast entirely. And then at the end of that, you get to show your friends and family. People come along to have a listen to what we've made. And Sadie's doing a tour at the moment, where it's like a tour around AIR. So people are going to be able to walk about AIR with headphones on and listen to that. I'm currently working on a piece about Sony Bean, because the cave's kind of near us. So we're going to go down into the cave and record in there. Like I said, Robert's working in his game, so people can come in and play a game that's got all these audio sound effects. And there's a girl, Claire, who's making a piece about a cat that walks about AIR, and it's like this audio drama, and it's got, like, binaural recording where you can basically, as the cat walks about, you can hear all these sound effects around the cat. Everyone's trying these really specific things, and sometimes, you know, some of it might not work, but the point is it's trial and error, and you're in a place where you're getting feedback from a group of people that are trying as well, and people that have got experience in the places that you might not and you want to learn in. And every week you learn a new skill. So hopefully, you know, by the end of that, you will confidently be able to make a podcast that you can produce, you can promote, you can make a poster for, and then you can put on Spreaker and ultimately put that on iTunes. And basically you're set up from then, in anything over and above that is like, hints and tips and how to expand on what you've got. So yeah, you can come and go as for, you know, just for the voice training or just for factual or just for audio drama day, just for character day. But if you take it all every single week, you've got the skills there to make your own production. Which I think is a great idea.
It's like an audio drama and podcast university in a pub in Scotland. I can't believe I've never been there because it sounds brilliant. I'll definitely need to come down for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that all sounds incredible. And like, I am serious about that. I definitely need to,
thank you very much.
To get down there at some point. I also need to let you talk about Edinburgh because you guys are going to be doing a live show there in October, I believe, and is that part of the Edinburgh Horror Festival?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. The thing about it is, though, is that I got a lot of people involved in the podcast who I said, come on down, your voice would be amazing for this podcast, and you're just behind a mic and it's all really comfortable and we'll all sit in this room, and if you make a mistake you can just re-record it, it's really comfortable. And now we're going to do it live at the Edinburgh Horror Festival, by the way. So there's a few people that have never done acting in their life before, and now I'm making them go up on a stage at a festival. So they're a wee bit frightened, but it'll be fun. I've got all the confidence in the world about it, that they'll do well. The people that are involved are just fantastic. There's only two or three of us that have actually done acting before, and everyone else is brand new from it. And see, when you know that, it's unbelievable, some of the acting that comes out. We've got Anthony, who is our narrator. We got one episode, we were writing all the episodes, and we've got a character called Mung Bean, who's this little horrible bent over creature that's got all these scars and he's got slime on him and everything that you can think of, and he hovers about the woods. And I had no idea how I was going to get someone to voice that person, and Anthony, who was doing the narrator and had never done any acting before, he was like, can I try out for it? And he starts sending me voice clips, and he was amazing at it, and he started doing that. And to think that some of these people have never done acting before is just incredible. So we're really excited to perform it live. We've got 2 days in Edinburgh, the 27th and 28th of October at 9 o'clock in Banshee Labyrinth in the cinema room. And it's free to come along. And we do 3 podcasts that have been recorded before and you're able to listen to, which are Girls Weekend, then the second episode of Into the Murk, and The Letter. And then we're also doing a podcast that's absolutely brand new and hasn't been recorded called The Painter. And no one's heard that before, and we're starting off with that. And we've got a guy called Evans Dixon who is in our podcast, and he leads the night, and he's going to have a big scary book, and he's going to come down the stairs and welcome everyone into the scary night. And it's basically a table read, but we've got music and sound effects and props and stuff, so that we can do, you know, the way you would see maybe like cartoons and stuff do Comic-Con. We're going to do a similar thing to that, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely try and get along to that myself, because I think it sounds brilliant. Aside from that, what other stuff have you guys got in the pipeline at the moment?
Well, we're on episode 5 is going to be released tonight of Into the Murk, which we have been told is heartwarming, the most heartwarming one yet. And it's trying to get these episodes out. We've only got 2 episodes, 5, 6, 7, that's all that are left. And then once that's done, I'll maybe set up a wee party for our wee group, a wee rap party. Then doing the live performance, doing some stuff with Scottish Audio. Then what we're hoping to do, we've got some stuff set up in schools where we're going to go into schools and teach people, like teach primary students how to make radio, which is going to be cute, I think. We've got these workshops lined up that we're doing just now for, you know, in the pub, so it's for adults, and we're going to change that for children. So Into the Murk is just, we're going to finish our series, and then the pub that we're doing our workshops in have they're doing like a Halloween week, and I'm so interested in that. And they're looking for people to write monologues and come along and get performing in these. He's looking for as many Halloween monologues for people to perform, and I am absolutely up for that. I'm going to start writing straight away for that. So I think that's my next thing, personally. Yeah, just trying to write as much as possible.
And you're still studying on top of this at the moment at the uni as well?
Yeah, getting into fourth year doing honours, specialising in radio. Yeah, yeah. All of us have got our degree in broadcasting now. All of us are going to get our honours, and it's going to be really cute. We're all going to graduate together.
Just yeah. Racking up all that debt as well. I get a nice letter for the student loans company now and then, and I'm thinking, like, you're genuinely never going to get that back. But
yeah.
So what sort of like career ideally would you like to have then? What line of work would you like to go into?
I personally would love to, you know, everybody that obviously that's involved in audio drama wants a podcast to take off. There's, you know, I'm not going to kid on that. I don't want to be famous with A Night of Horror. I don't think it's going to happen within the next year. But I'm trying to put the work in, get the word out as much as possible, and you know, make A Night of Horror big. But on top of that, we want to make Scottish Audio cooperative. We want to make Scottish Audio a place where people can say, oh, Scotland's made all these podcasts and they are doing these workshops, and people are able to say, if I want to make a podcast, I'll contact this group or whatever. But, you know, we'll be famous in the next year, so... Yeah, I would love to get involved really heavily in all of the horror scene, just doing podcasts and putting on shows and doing all that sort of stuff from a Night of Horror perspective. That would be excellent. We're just getting involved in as much horror stuff as possible, because that's where I think the coolest stuff is. I just love all that sort of stuff.
So where can the listener like find out details about all your shows, all your events, and basically anything else that you're up to?
So for A Night of Horror, we've got anightofhorror.co.uk, and that's where you find everything. At ANOH Podcast is our Twitter, and that's where we are most active, really. So anightofhorror.co.uk is where you can find all the episodes, but we've also got, we're also on iTunes and Spreaker as well. So, yes, I'd say iTunes and the website and Twitter is where you would find us mainly. If you're interested in the workshops and stuff like that, that's Scottish.audio, and you'll find all the pieces that people have made in the past, and also our curriculum and how to get involved. And if you're too far away at the moment to come along, like I said earlier, you can. It's a fiver to get involved in the website, and you can start publishing with us, like putting your posts up with us, getting involved in our groups, and getting your hints and tips from us that we send you out. It's a good community, and it would be great to have people talk to us that are also creating podcasts, because it's been great. Like you were talking about, as soon as you started speaking to us, it opened up a new world of all of these other people that are creating podcasts that we didn't know. And now we've made all these new friends that we had no idea were also creating all this work. So it's good to just have that. There's a definite, really, really nice community out there just now for podcasters, I think. And I think just having everyone linked, and if anybody wants to get involved with Scottish Audio, that would be fantastic. And don't be scared to come and say hi to us on Twitter. Say hi, ANOH Podcast. Come and speak to us.
And if you hear this podcast before the 27th and 28th October, it is, isn't it? What days are those in Edinburgh?
Friday and Saturday, before Halloween. And that is at 9 o'clock in Banshee Labyrinth in the cinema room. And it's free. It's free. Just come along to the cinema room. Let us know, so as we'll set up an event and send it out to people if you want to come along. It would be great, and you'll be seeing a live horror podcast, which I think is pretty neat.
what a cool interview from Matthew there, and we're letting him dip his toes back in the water, and hopefully he'll wade again. but no, really exciting podcast that. So as you can see, what a brilliant way of working. I think we perhaps need to do more meetings in a pub, Fiona.
I think that's a very good idea.
And maybe we could start the audio drama pub movement, the ADPM, which should take over as a new way of creating some really cool and fun adventurous stuff. So super. If you want to do that, let us know, and we'll meet you in the pub. Mine's a pint.
But yeah, excellent. It's a good way of getting audio drama to, public places.
Isn't it? Yes.
And talking of getting audio drama to public places.
good link.
We have some very exciting news indeed. We are absolutely honoured to have been invited onto a panel discussing audio fiction and drama at the London Podcast Festival 2017.
Yes.
Do you want to say a bit more about it?
Well, we'd love you to come and see and talk to us, and not only us, but on the panel that's being chaired by the amazing Felix Trench, who you might recognise from Wooden Overcoats, as well as other amazing acting endeavours, and Liz Campbell, who also works with Wooden Overcoats. So, yes, it should be a very hopefully enlightening and fun discussion. So it'd be wonderful to meet you guys there, if any of you can make it. We'll put details fully on show notes. But Fiona, do you want to fill them in as to when and where?
Yep, this is 2017, just in case you're listening to a later date. And it's Saturday, 16th of September at 4 p.m. in the Wenlock Room. That's in King's Place, which is in N1.
Just near Waterloo, yes.
Brilliant. So we'd love to see you there. Please come.
Yes, and tickets are only £6.50. And there's a website you can get your tickets through. And also do have a look at the amazing array of other things on there. I'm going to see Overcoats being done on the Sunday. Yeah. And there's also quite a few other fun things that that hopefully will inspire you to write, listen, or look at more audio drama and comedy and radio.
Absolutely,
I guess.
Yes. Thank you all very much indeed for listening. And next week, we're going to be continuing with the summer season.
Yes, with the beautiful, wonderful, amazing, alluring James Oliver. So speak to you then. Bye.
Bye.